What's so great about? What's so great about?
Great answers. My name's Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the fuck are you?
It's warranted, Terry, and I am very well. Very, very well. And how the fuck are you?
I too am fucking well.
Good to fucking hear it, pal.
Yeah. Good to see you, man.
Oh, it's great to see you. Yeah. I've been fucking chomping at the bit.
It's been like a month, I think, at this stage.
I'm not pardon. I haven't done this in the 5 years since we started. 6 years, maybe?
Since we've been doing The Simpsons regularly, yeah.
Like, yeah. Jesus. And I tell you, particularly like the first 2 weeks, I was like, grand, nice
perfect
holiday. Because you're going full clip every week with two pods and edits and all this sort of stuff. Like, great. And then the last like 2 weeks, I've been dying to get back. So
like, oh, I have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
I tell you, that the old solo ones I did on the Patreon were good for my mental health, just to get the word vomit out there of like, I've so much to talk. Yeah, I've seen so much stuff.
I really enjoyed it. I sent you a voice message like, I think I enjoy listening to you talking about movies way more when
you don't have to respond.
Hey, not that I don't enjoy it during the pod, Terry. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, when I'm on the pod, I'm kind of like, because that's not the topic that we're talking about. I'm kind of like, okay, great, great. What else you got?
Yeah.
You know, whereas when I know what I'm in for on your solo pods, I actually quite enjoy it a lot. So, yeah, thoroughly enjoyed that.
How have you been?
Very well, Terry. Very well. I don't know why my voice got deeper there.
Big daddy.
That's because I'm now a father of two. Yes, the...
Isn't it mad that we're going to have kids in the same...
Yeah, plural.
I don't know if I've said this on the main feed, actually, that like myself and my wife are expecting...
Oh, yeah, did we discuss that?
A baby. Yeah, I think I said it on one of the Patreons. I didn't want to steal your thunder.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
We're expecting, so it'll be end of November.
Amazing. We'll have two kids born within what?
6 months?
Less than that. Of each other. Amazing. Babies all over town.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, and she's been great. She's an absolute clone of Joni, I have to say, when she was born. I was off for the 2 weeks, which was nice and all that. I got back to work this week, which was also nice, not going to lie. But because I just don't do well in general at home for long stretches of time, especially, you know, with like new things happening and all that sort of stuff. I was slightly out of sorts for a while, but you know,
you need to get out, don't you? Like Faye is always saying to me, he's like, you fucking love going to the shops. You're always going to the shops. I'm like, yeah, just need to get out of the house for a minute or two, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And then like her sister was saying, it's like Paul loves to go to the shops. And she's like, fucking men, they always want to go to the shops.
Yeah.
They always want to get out. Like,
took you forever at the shops there.
I ran into himself or whatever. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He just said, so I chew my nails.
I better go back.
Yeah.
But no, it's been really nice. Like, she's been sleeping pretty good. Like, the last few days, she hasn't slept great. But it was like, last night was probably the worst night, I would say, in terms of
sleep. Your life.
Because it was almost like a form of, like, I think she has, like, thrush on her tongue or something like that.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it was like, you would just be about to go to sleep.
Geez.
And then she would just, it would be like every 20 minutes, just she let out this, like, And I'm like, saying to Gary, like, this is like a form of torture. Like, I'm just drifting off. And then, like, So I took her out for a nice long walk and let Kerry get some sleep in anticipation for the pod tonight as well. But yeah, it's been brilliant. It's been bloody brilliant now. And we're far more relaxed in general this time around, having done it all before. So yeah, all the good things. I'm terrible, to be honest. Whenever people at work are like, well, I'm like, yep. Great.
Fine.
Like, I don't know.
No stories.
I don't know what to say.
Anyway. Any pukes on you yet?
Not on me, but she has this lovely habit that she likes to do of weeing mid-nappy change.
Class.
So I've started to play this like game with Joni where like she's beside me. I'm like, all right, Joni, thanks for coming back. And it's time to play. Let's change that nappy. Like, okay, for a bonus point. Will she wee mid-nappy change? Yes or no?
Is Joni adapting?
She loves her.
That's great.
She
Look
loves
at us, a couple
her.
Of old softies.
I know. She's obsessed with her. She just wants to hold her and help and all this sort of stuff. And like we've been sort of making sure to do things with Joni. Like we went to the circus, her and Kerry went to the movies, we've gone swimming loads and all that sort of stuff. So it's all been,
that's the
been
way.
Good. Yeah, like people at work were asking like, oh, is Joni very jealous? And I didn't even really think about it until they said it. I was like, no, not really.
I think what's Joni, 7 now?
Yeah, so I think she's kind of old enough to get it.
Like we're anticipating that Bonnie will be 3.
Yeah.
And like there will be a bit of jealousy there, I think.
When they're still the baby.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Yeah, I can see it.
I know from talking to my brother-in-law, he was kind of saying a lot of it is, you know, the newborn and the mother will spend a lot of time together. So you'll be like, okay, let's go, Bonnie. Let's go for whatever. I was kind of saying to her, you know, we'll go to the cinema or whatever like that. First trip to the cinema, kind of save that for when the baby comes, you know, something special.
Blah, first of many, I'm sure.
Yeah. Eh?
Well, look, before we continue, my dog has walked in, farted, and left the door wide open so the whole house can hear me talk. So I'm just going to go close that. If
sure,
you'll excuse
no
me.
Problem. Yeah, same as it ever was, folks. Maybe I should put a virtual background up since he's got one. What would a good virtual background? Oh, he's back.
Apologies, Terry. Now, here, can I ask you a question? Can I jump right in and ask you a question? What is going on? I mean, assuming you're well and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, I'm very well.
Very well, thank you. I have a question I want to ask. What is happening with Vince McMahon? Because I've seen you and Andy on the group chat going back and forth. I've seen snippets. I've been sent things. I just don't fully understand what's going on. Can you tell me what's happening with Vince McMahon at the moment?
So about a month ago, I want to say, I think I was in Belgium when it happened. There was a story broke by the Wall Street Journal that he... and John Laurinaitis, if you remember John Laurinaitis.
Big John, of course.
Yeah, so like, Vince McMahon had basically like paid $3 million to an ex-employee to sign an NDA to like...
Non-disclosure agreement, I assume?
Yeah, of like sexual harassment. I don't know if it was that he fired them or, you know, they left, but he paid them $3 million. The terminology they were saying, like, he basically used her up, passed her on to John Laurinaitis. He used her up, and then it was...
And when is this supposed to have happened? Do we know?
They didn't say when, but the board of directors were basically looking into it because it was like, that's an irregular payment of $3 million, you know, dollars, whatever. And he then stepped down as chairman. Remember we were texting into the group about like succession in real life because Stephanie McMahon had like just left the company, like had taken a leave of absence from the company, and now she'd been brought back. She's the chairman,
right?
And like Vince is still.
Is she really the chairman though, or is Vince?
That's
just
what I mean. It's canary and Burns type thing, like you know.
Yeah.
So but, like Vince is still there, and like he, so much so that he hadn't been on TV in forever. Then he showed up on that Friday SmackDown.
As Mr. McMahon, wasn't it?
Huh?
He showed up as
Mr. McMahon, and he showed up and said, what is it? Then, now, forever, together. Like, that's the WWE logo, you know, when it starts. He just said that and left. And the crowd went fucking nuts for him.
Like, cheering.
Cheering, which is crazier. And then he was on the Monday Night
the
Raw.
The WWE Universe are normally a bunch of goody-two-shoes as well. It's very surprised.
Sycophants, though. Like, they wouldn't... Imagine they booed him. Like, imagine they were like, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
They should have. Fuck you, rapist. That's more of an AEW crowd, or that's more of an ECW style, you know? But then on the Monday Night Raw, he showed up again, and like, did and some sort of announcement saying like John Cena is coming back for his anniversary, and then just left. It was like, it's not even a storyline or anything. It's just him getting out there. And then it broke the other day that it was like there were 4 more payments, I think, like totaling $12 million since.
To the same person or to other people?
I think it's numerous ones, but it's 2005.
Like, I'm surprised and that it's only one. And
one of them was a wrestler. They're saying right. One of them was... No, it's definitely more than one. Like, yeah. You know, but like, I think this is like tip of the iceberg. But he... they're saying it was like a wrestler. One of them is a wrestler.
Right.
That like a lady wrestler that left. So there was all this stuff bandied around. But it's... I've seen a lot of kind of internet wrestling correspondents being like, please don't try and
figure it out
or like name who they are, because there's no way of defending themselves.
Yeah
you know, so it's fucking mad. Like, I don't know if like John Laurinaitis has been on leave, you know, he's been sent home since the first one around. Vince is still running creative.
I was gonna say, because he's still backstage. In charge of creative, like, he's there on the mic, and
like, I the whole thing is weird, because like, he basically, the whole thing with Triple H was, you know, and Shane, like, you know, he fired Shane like
right
after the Royal Rumble this year,
yeah, because the Royal Rumble stank up the place,
and Shane like helped produce the match, and he like put himself in a prominent position, like
right.
Basically, I think the pitch he had was like, it was going to be him and Brock Lesnar with the last two, and they were going to go toe-to-toe. And people were like, what the fuck?
Brilliant.
Like,
brilliant.
So he, and apparently he was very unprofessional at the time. He got fired shortly after that. Like, Jesus, he basically dismantled like Triple H's project at NXT.
Vince did, or Shane did?
Yeah, Vince did. So like,
I seen a thing where Triple H came back this week. Is that like he's back on the reins now?
I don't know, because like, he brought back in like Bruce Pritchard and a bunch of old cronies that are like Jeff Jarrett's back working there. He seems to be like, he'd brought back all these people to like consolidate power, and we're like kind of blocking off the new guard that he brought in.
Right.
For some reason, like, Pritchard is running NXT, he's running SmackDown and Raw as well, like, which is mad, boggles the mind, considering he was gone for like 20 years.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know.
Above it all, is it good?
WWE, it's terrible.
Right.
Oh, it's awful.
Right.
Awful stuff. And like, the thing I dislike about it the most, it, like, sometimes the storytelling is bad. There's some good matches, don't get me wrong, because they have good wrestlers.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, the way it's produced is like, it's such like, it's almost nauseating with how many camera cuts there are. It like jumps from like angle to angle to angle, and you're like, oh, I feel like I'm gonna get sick. They show, and like, there was a thing they had like the Money in the Bank ladder match, and it was like the women's one that was like Asuka and Becky Lynch were like fighting each other.
Yeah.
And it was just, it looked, if it stayed on the one angle, it would have looked like a very impressive spot of like attacks. But it was just, it flipped to like six different camera angles. And I saw somebody, like one of the reporters, like, I was at that show live. It looked deadly in person.
Yeah.
I can't even look at it at this. He's like, it makes me sick, like feel sick watching it.
You know, like it would just make me, I'd never call for the demise of people's jobs or for, you know, something like that, but like, they make so many wrong moves, and yet they still get like,
you get know, away with it. They can't get away, with it. Like,
You know, they should be like, how close are AEW really to catching them these days?
Ratings wise, not hugely close. Like,
just because kids are stupid, and
yeah, that's
basically
like, product wise, they're very much ahead of them, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, in pretty much everyone's opinion, I'd imagine.
Yeah, they don't treat their audience like idiots.
Yes.
Well. And it's not the same, for the most part, it's not the same. Like, that show when Vince came out and said, then, now, together, forever together, they brought back Brock Lesnar, and he's like...
Right.
It's like, oh, it's... Brock Lesnar is going to be back to challenge Roman Reigns again for the 50th time. You're like,
Jesus.
Okay.
Forget it.
Yeah, like,
right, well,
what was once a special match is no longer special.
Yeah.
if you just right, do it all okay. the time, like you know.
I had it earmarked to ask you about that because I was like, "What?" Like, I kept hearing about it and I kept seeing stuff about it, and I was like, "It the shoe very much fits." I'll say
well,
that.
Like people are like, "You're surprised," and they have like an 8-pack screenshot of like him in the Attitude Era, and you're like, "Yeah, like all the stuff he got up to, like
ridiculous."
Even after, remember the whole Trish Stratus like
yeah,
dog beg like a dog.
Of course
thing?
I do,
but like,
of course I remember that.
Yeah. even after that, like, there was a whole like era of like sleazy old man McMahon in the mid-2000s which I guarantee you, a lot of us that stopped watching, you kind of miss out on that.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh no, you're still doing it up until, you know,
completely never yeah, never stopped, never changed
PG, until they went PG. Ugh. Like, you know,
well, listen, on another note, what else has been going on, Terry, before we
just one thing before we get into the movie. I went to the cinema on Friday.
Yes.
I went to see Thor, Love and Thunder.
Oh.
It's fine. It's everything you're seeing online that it's like...
I didn't know. I hadn't seen a thing.
A lot of the reviews are like, it has X amount of problems, blah, 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 3 out of 5. And I'm like, that's about right. Like, that's how I felt when I was right. watching it. Like,
that's a shame, because that was their big win there, as far as I was concerned.
It's
the Thor franchise.
I mean, you know what it is?
What is it?
Like, we talked about it and I tagged you in something. Like, the Marvel VFX machine.
Yeah.
Is like, apparently it's not, there's nothing in-house, which makes sense to me.
Right.
That, like, they're all outsourced. But apparently they're very demanding.
Yeah.
With their, like, VFX.
Can you just do this from scratch and...
We have 3 weeks left or whatever. Exactly, yeah. That kind of stuff. And that's why... And
but
like,
Marvel, what are you going to do? Say no?
People are like, I don't want to... They're asking their bosses to not put them on Marvel projects. This is like, there was like a Reddit thread of like 6 different people being like, I haven't worked on a Marvel project since 2012 because I hated it so much, you know?
Wow.
And I think because they're non-unionized, the VFX...
Right.
Workshops are non-unionized,
right.
And they're overworked and underpaid. So that's why I think you're seeing the drop off the way it is now.
And like, was it always like that in Phase 3?
I don't think so.
Did they have their
because
own?
Because it looks no. I don't think they had their own in-house stuff. But like, there seem to be. Maybe it's just because they are using the same ones and they have way more content needed, you know, with the TV shows and everything else that it's like.
I tell you, I've fallen. I'm in an abusive relationship with Marvel here because I hated them and then I loved them. And then a particularly peak love was like WandaVision. WandaVision. Like after the you know, Endgame and all that sort of stuff. And then they come out with WandaVision, which was so different and so cool. And then it was just, since then, I'm like, don't know about that.
I mean, I would say, I thought WandaVision was great. I thought the end of it kind of left me a little bit like they bottled it.
Bit of a bad.
They bottled it. Like, you know, as in like, they wouldn't follow through on what they had set up. And then Loki, I thought was great. I thought Loki was the best
Loki one. Was fantastic. That was so
Loki
much
was the
fun.
Best one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because it felt like a TV show as opposed to like, we're setting up the next movie.
Yeah.
You know what exactly. I mean? And it's the only one they've done season 2 of.
I see they're doing that. Yeah. I've fallen right out of love with them, to be honest. I've just...
For somebody, like, Ragnarok was your number one when we did our MCU thing. Like, this, it's by the same director as well. Like, it's Taika Waititi again.
Hmm.
And in the time since he made Ragnarok and what is going on now, I think... Well, I was reading, he's been divorced. Like, I don't know if he's with Rita Ora.
I'm not laughing at that.
No, but like, he seems to be going through a really like midlife crisis.
And it shows on screen.
He also seems like a bit of a dickhead. Like, he seems like a fucking, like, right, like, all these cringy clips. I don't know, like, if you, like, you saw, I don't know if you watched the movie. I haven't watched it. That movie, Free Guy.
No.
Ryan Reynolds, and he's playing like a NPC character in... like a Grand Theft Auto game, and then he gains conscience and he picks up a weapon.
I like
that,
what I'm hearing, Terry.
But it's like Taika Waititi plays the CEO of the company that runs the game or something. I remember seeing all these like viral clips going around of like, oh, Taika's just doing some amazing improv on set, like you wouldn't believe it. And they showed the clips and I was like, the God, terrible. And I don't know if it was one of our friends, I don't know if it was like Peter McGann or Ed Salmon, somebody from the Irish comedy scene anyway, had like posted a tweet and was like, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing people this was actually improv. And it was like, oh, that clip. And it's just like awful. And I'm like, because people are fawning over this guy so much, like he seems like he's like bottling his own farts and smelling them, that kind of like, you know. Yeah,
do you think if his, now this is going to be from a complete outsider, but do you think if his name wasn't Taika Waititi,
well, he's Maori, so like, okay, you know, he's from New Zealand.
Okay, I'll stop there. So.
I'll save you from yourself.
He's got a unique name, is all I'm saying. It's very memorable.
But like his comedy, like his early stuff, like What We Do in the Shadows and Hunt for the Wilder People are two brilliant movies. I really love them. And I love Thor Ragnarok as well. So much fun. It's just now I'm like, and even there was something I saw today of like him on Vanity Fair. And it's like, does that look, him and Tessa Thompson are like a still from Thor Love and Thunder, is like, does that look real? And he's like, oh, it doesn't really look. And it's like, oh, you just don't give a shit, like you're pointing to your own movie and saying it doesn't look real. He's like, does he look real? And
it's like, whatever,
yeah, great, like
that's what Marvel are like. What are you gonna do, like, not watch it?
That's it. But like, how many people like would kill to be in his position, to be like, I get to make a Marvel movie, I get to make a fucking giant big, and like the movie itself is fine, like Chris Hemsworth is good as always as love Thor him. Christian Bale is in it, he plays the bad guy in it, he
right.
is kind of doing his own thing, but really well. It just, and like Russell Crowe plays Zeus in it.
Brilliant.
And for some reason,
was that those memes of like fat Russell Crowe?
Well, no. Well, it might be. Does he have like a giant beard and curls?
Yeah, and like there was just a still of him. He even took piss out of it himself. It's like Gladiator versus now.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like a big boy now. I watched that movie Unhinged.
Oh yeah, him,
and like he's so fucking fat in that movie. Like he slimmed down a little bit, but that movie, and I forgot to mention, it's like there's a bit in it where it's like he is doing some. He has like a ring of sweat around his neck in one scene, and then like he's kind of like shouting at somebody and giving out to them. They're tied to a chair, and then like somebody bursts in to stop him, and the ring of sweat is like it's like tripled, and I'm like, yeah, okay,
but brilliant.
In this, like he's playing Zeus, and he does some kind of. I guess it's a Greek accent, but it's like it's your Greek immigrant uncle who's opened up the deli in New York, and he talks like this. What are you doing, huh? Yeah, that kind of like. But I wasn't mad at it, you know. I was like, oh, he's good. Yeah,
I'll still see it, of course, because we're locked in for life now. Apparently, with this MCU series.
Well, maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll see after Phase 4.
I tell you what, we shouldn't. I mean, it was out of respect for Marvel that we were continuing with all of them. Yeah. But now, they're not giving it to me. You know what I mean? Why should I give it to them when they're not giving it to me?
Yeah, and look, that's all I say. The movie, it made $143 million this weekend. Look, I'll say, it kind of is. And then you see something like fucking Top Gun Maverick, and it's like. Andy, we haven't even talked about it. It's fucking unbelievable.
I heard your review. It's fine. Oh, it's fine.
Brilliant. Like, but like, it's so tactile. It's so, they're actually fucking doing these things.
They're doing it, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, listen.
And the worst thing is you've forgotten how good it felt to see these things. Because we've been asleep, Andy, as a people. We've been asleep with all this fucking VFX. But then there's real life heroes. I'm going to go out and say it. Hero. Like Tom Cruise.
Like, oh yeah,
the actor,
I forgot.
Not whatever else he has going on in his personal life.
Of course.
Endangered servants or whatever. But like, he's saving cinema.
Look, I will not hear one bad word about Tom Cruise on screen.
Yeah.
Ever. All right, he can do what he likes.
Tom Cruise in the movie business. Outside the movie business, I'm not so sure.
But like, you could say the same about loads of people, I'm sure, in the 60s who we just didn't know about.
It's 2022, mate, but whatever.
Marlon Brando would be as lauded if there was Twitter around.
Come on. Yeah, I mean, Elvis. I know Elvis is making a comeback now, but you know, he married a 13-year-old.
Did he?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Or 14, see? Whatever he was. Like, you know, see? Like, if you think of, you know, his wife was Lisa Marie Presley. Is that right? Is that her?
Priscilla Presley, wasn't
Priscilla
it?
Priscilla Presley, yeah. Lisa Marie's daughter. Yeah. Priscilla Presley. They, like, she looked young enough in those Naked Gun movies. And they were in the 90s. And, yeah. You know,
that's why I remember thinking, I remember having that conversation with Terry. She was like, is that Elvis's wife? I was like, no, look how young she is. Yeah. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Well, you've answered your own question there, buddy.
Well, listen, Terry, I am dying to talk about this movie, if we may.
Let's get it. Let's take our face off.
I've been chasing this guy ever since I joined the force. He has no conscience, and he shows no remorse. He's the mastermind behind numerous bombings and political assassinations. He has a felony list a mile long: murder, arson, kidnapping, terrorism, you name it. He's the most dangerous and brilliant criminal mind I've ever known. For years I've been watching him, tracking him, studying his every move. I know his every mannerism, facial tic, gesture. I know him better than he knows himself. And now, after all this time, I finally figured out a way to trap him. I will become him.
You're not having any fun, are you, Sean? Try terrorism for hire. We'll blow some shit up. It's more fun.
Plan B. Let's just kill each other.
That was, of course, the trailer for 1997's Face Off, starring Nicolas Cage and John Travolta, directed by John Woo.
Mm-hmm.
And written by Mike Werb and Michael Collery.
Mike Werb?
Yeah.
Fake name.
Cool name. Fake?
Werb. Come on.
Let me just double check. No, it's Werb. Yeah.
Okay.
Care to take a stab at the budget? And
okay.
It'll be interesting then when we have guests back on.
Yeah.
To see how they fare again on the old budget game.
I'm going to say 60 million.
80 million. So you're not in your 10 percentile.
Okay. Fine. Sorry, fine. I'm happy enough-ish. Okay.
You mean you got it wrong?
Yeah, but,
so.
You know, I wasn't like way off. Okay.
Box office opening weekend?
Opening. And this is 97, so I'm going to say 10 million opening weekend.
23 million.
Okay. All right.
So still outside. Still outside, unfortunately.
Domestic?
Hit me.
125 million.
112.
Oh, I seen your face when I said the 112, and I thought, like, I've got him now. Shit.
So
125, yeah. Am I?
Doesn't work. You're not within 10. You're very close. You're not within 10%.
Worldwide?
Yeah. What do you got?
320 million.
Stop you right there. 245.
Shit. Okay.
245.
Okay.
Care for some fun facts?
Please.
This was originally conceived as a prison set film in the future. It was more about a lawman going undercover.
Right.
And then a big riot breaking out, and he's stuck in the prison under a false identity, which is a great idea.
Yeah.
For
I think that as well.
Kind of said, well, they made one. They kind of based it on like James Cagney, White Heat,
right?
Which is kind of a similar thing, but then in the future. It was written in the summer of 1990, and the idea that they were going to, because they said everybody was kind of looking for the next Die Hard.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of true if you think of like Lethal Weapon, Last Boy Scout, you know, these kind of action buddy cop, or not even buddy cop, but like
yeah,
buddy comedy
duo sort action. Of thing.
Yeah. But they sent the idea of sending out the script was January 16, 1991. However, that was the day that George Bush Sr. announced the first Gulf War.
Right.
So it was put on ice. Essentially, the two screenwriters were like, they said, we're waiting for, you know, the calls to come in for this great script we've written.
Yeah.
And we called our agent and he was like, what are you nuts? We're at war. Like, nobody wants to see the, you know, nobody cares about this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're focusing on war.
Wow.
It was going to be, they loved the idea of having Nick Cage in the lead when he expressed interest. And Michael Douglas, who was the producer on this film. I don't know if you saw that.
I thought I'd seen that, yeah.
Yeah, so Michael Douglas is an interesting guy because he, I think before he did Romancing the Stone, he had tried to like a couple of cracks at being an actor and it wasn't happening for him. So he became like a producer and he started like picking up a bunch of like scripts.
He was in movies before this, wasn't he?
Yeah, but like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so like a lot of the stuff before he actually became big as an actor, he was a producer.
Right, right, right.
And then he became an actor, like, and a huge actor in the mid to late 80s. But then he still kept his producer's hat on. And he basically was like fascinated with making Johnny Depp a movie star after 21 Jump Street. So much so that Paramount said they would only make the movie if Johnny Depp had signed on after reading the script. And Depp thought the script was actually about ice hockey movie.
I thought, you know, like when I first seen this movie, I thought like, oh, what is this, some sort of hockey movie? You know, like, because I remember just thinking like it's called a face-off and you know
that was the thing. Was there like a Sega game that was like NHL face-off or something like?
I remember thinking like, oh, what is this, some sort of like sports hockey movie? And then I remember just hearing like, no, they take their faces off. I'm like, oh,
right. So he passed because he thought it was, when he was disappointed when he read it and realized it wasn't about hockey. The two writers, it was coming up to about 1994 at the time.
Yeah,
the two writers had just watched some John Woo movies and then they realized that, hold on a second, like Face Off is a John Woo movie,
right?
Like, we've written a John Woo movie. He had just come to the States to make Broken Arrow with John Travolta.
Yeah.
So when they offered him the script and he read it and enjoyed it,
he said, I'll do it if I can bring Travolta in.
He said he'd do it and then he asked Travolta. Travolta was like, yeah, I'll do anything that Woo wants to do. Because you remember, Travolta had only just come back. His mid to late 80s, early 90s was like, he was in The Wasteland.
Yeah.
Like, he's had a funny career. Like, yeah, Grease, he had like Saturday Night Fever, a few other like Blowout, like in the early 80s, where he was a young, leading, handsome man.
Yeah.
Did Staying Alive. And then, like, if you look at his like late 80s, early 90s, it's like,
it's basically Look Who's Talking, and that's it.
That's it. Like, and like, but like in those movies as well, he's like fourth banana to like Danny DeVito, who's the voice of a baby.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing. Like, true. He's not the lead in those movies at all. But then Pulp Fiction.
Was that 94?
That was 94. Broken Arrow was 95 or 96, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 96.
And then this is 90. Like, Broken Arrow kind of.
What a resurgence.
After, oh, look, that's the thing. Like, it's his career is so streaky. It's and like ridiculous.
Well, I'll save it. I'll save it.
But he said basically after the how he thought. How Broken Arrow had went for him. He was like, yeah, anything Woo wants me to do, I'm in.
And I thought he'd be the one who'd be wooing men to do something that there's a joke in there somewhere. I haven't worked out all the pieces yet, but
was that a gay joke?
some sort of joke about his bizarre personal life.
Yeah, I thought he sleeps with the fishes.
No, what I have is a romantic abnormality.
So, but they agreed to the combination of the trio as long as the budget was reduced. And the writers decided that the best way to do that was to actually move it from being a future set film to kind of set it in the present day.
Yeah.
Or they said, the way they described it is 5 days into the future. It would cost a lot less and be like, as in, yeah, it's today, but they have technology that nobody would have in the 90s. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of way.
I did think that.
Yeah. Nick Cassavetes, who plays Dietrich, he was the bald guy.
Yeah.
He had just directed a second film, which Travolta was the lead in, and he went to set to ask Travolta to tell him that he needed him to do some ADR for the to finish off.
Yeah.
When John Woo saw him on set and was like, "You have to be in the movie." Cassavetes said, I wasn't an actor really at the time. I was more directing.
He was like Cage's crony, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh right.
He his dad is a director, his brothers, you know, they're fairly famous. I think he ended up directing Notebook in the end.
With
Gosling.
No way.
Your boy.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, come on.
He's your boy.
I just like him, so. But yeah, he basically said he went there to tell Travolta that he needed them to do ADR and Woo songs. You're going to be in the movie. And
stop.
He basically was like, "Oh no, I don't really act." And he's like, "You're a legend, man. Come on." And he thought, "Oh well, you know, I'm going to be in a day or two." Didn't realize that the role they had given him was this kind of supporting heavy.
Yeah.
And how he'd have to shave his head and all that. But he said he had a great time. He had a great time.
He looked like he did.
Yeah. One last thing I have, because there's two oral histories. If any of you are interested in this kind of stuff, there's two oral histories on. Just Google them on Face Off, and they have loads of detail. And I just,
what is that?
I
know what is oral history?
An oral history is basically an oral history of What's So Great About Podcast would be somebody who would do a lot of research on us and then write up an article.
Oh, right. Oh, great.
Yeah. Or if somebody did a book.
I would be interested in that.
Yeah, there's two. Type them in, have on your own time.
Yeah.
Have a quick Google on them. They're very interesting. Mm. But from my book, The Age of Cage.
Oh, yes.
There he is.
There he is.
Yeah. Travolta said he had absorbed a lot of Nick Cage by following him over the years. He stated that the biggest thing he wanted to take from him was his cadence.
Mm.
Deliberate way that Cage speaks. He describes it as an almost poetic way of speaking.
Hmm. And see anybody you like? Stuff like that.
We'll get into it later. But apparently he's one of the best mimics in Hollywood.
Travolta.
If you ask him to do an impression of somebody.
Really?
And so much so that he was on a talk show 2 years ago, and they asked him to do his Nick Cage from Face Off, and he slipped straight back into it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
I like Travolta.
Yeah.
Do you?
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
All right. So why don't we get into things proper?
Okay.
Hit me with what you got,
Terry. What a movie this is! Oh my God, this is like three movies packed into one. John Woo was obviously Broken Arrow was pretty good, but instead of giving me a guy who's at 10 and another guy who's at a 0, let's give me two 10s and see what happens. This movie was phenomenal, Terry. This is everything I should, in my whole series, the 90s action series on Patreon, this is better than any other movie. I was
flabbergasted that you didn't pick this.
And I'll tell you why, because I thought, my thinking was that, it's a great concept, but it's kind of boring or something. I remember stupidly thinking that.
When you say to me, 90s action movie.
This is it.
Yeah, this is what pops into my head. This and Con Air.
Yeah.
And to a lesser extent, The Rock.
Yeah. I would almost go so far as to put this ahead of Con Air. This was just... Oh, it's everything that I want in a 90s action movie. Even more so than Con Air was. This was just... It was ludicrous. The acting was ludicrous. But it's just...
I'm gonna push back on the acting is ludicrous. Because I think... And we'll get into more. I think Cage is brilliant in this movie.
I will say this. I think it'll be very hard for me to put another Cage movie on top of his performance in this one. He was fantastic. Oh,
there are, though? Yes, Andy, well, definitely.
It's going to take some doing. Him and Travolta were both incredible.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you. So, you think Travolta's incredible?
I loved him in it. I fucking loved him in it. He was brilliant. So over the top. Just like in Broken Arrow. Basically that character, but like even more. Give me Dalton to 11 this one. Go on, hit me. Bring me back down there. Come on, hit me with it.
No. I think he's... Apart from the very last scene, when he's Sean Archer, I'm like, fuck this guy. I hate this guy. He's awful. I don't buy him for a second as Sean Archer. I'm just like, okay. You know? And when you see Nick Cage as Sean Archer, I'm like, this is Sean Archer. This is the Sean Archer that it should be.
So you're saying Cage nails both roles. Travolta.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Cage nails both roles. Travolta, when he's hamming it up. And I want to talk, I have two line readings that I think are the two best.
From Travolta or Cage?
Yeah, from Travolta.
Can I guess one?
He
hasn't been discovered yet. Is that one?
Yeah, that's it, but it's not the right word.
Ah.
It's like, where is his body? It's like, they haven't recovered it. Yeah. They haven't recovered it! And then the other one is that we already talked about. See anything you like?
That was such a great thing that you sent me there during the week of like behind the scenes of that.
It's that scene.
And the whole
when they're in
thing,
the prison together.
Yeah, and like he realizes that like he's out of his coma and
die. No.
And then afterwards he's like Travolta's jumping up and down after
he's
like they
so
cut like
giddy.
And then Cage like was that too hard? He's like, no, it was great.
That's deadly. That's so good.
10 minutes into this movie, I was like, holy fucking shit. What an intro this was. Don't remember
it's
this.
It's 2 hours 20.
Zips. And when do I say that, Terry? Zips.
Yeah, I know. And like, I paced it. I was like, every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
There's some sort of action scene or there's no lag.
Yeah. No, there's like, there's no lag.
I was like, the second prison fight, you know, the second prison action set piece, then the next one is the fucking the gang shootout.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's like 22 minutes or something in between. And I'm like, wow. And like two giant action set pieces.
Yeah.
There. And I guess maybe we...
I'll say like, I mean like, it's not like, I'm looking at this from the prism of like 90s action. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's mental. But that's what I'm looking for in these movies. Like that intro alone where there's like a big shootout, there's a runaway plane, like just...
Sorry, I thought you were talking about like Nick Cage with the stash.
No,
shooting,
like that whole
shooting
thing,
Sean Archer and the kid.
They just, you know, straight away you're getting your one-dimensional bad guys. Caster Troy as well, great name great heel name. The whole thing with the plane, they're both
Pollux,
just running at each
Pollux
other.
Troy.
Yeah, they're both running at each other, guns in both hands, just shooting. Like Travolta shoots a thing, like a rope, he flies up. They're jumping through glass and shooting. No one threw them through the glass. They're jumping through the glass to get a shot as they're in midair. Like, it's just absolute balls to the wall.
Like, the whole thing of... You have Travolta and you have his number two guy, who's one of my favorite character actors, Robert Wisdom, who played Tito, the black guy.
Yeah.
The black guy.
Okay, I was going to Google it. Okay.
You might know him. You watched Prison Break, did you?
Not really, actually, no.
I thought Kerry was a
she
big
was,
fan.
She was, yeah, I didn't.
So there was the year where they were in Brazil or whatever, the South American prison, and there was the guy, Lechero, who ran the prison. That's Robert Wisdom. He's in loads of stuff. He's in The Wire. A young, slim Robert Wisdom. And I was like, wow, like this guy getting to... I forgot he was in this like big budget action movie. And he plays the, like, Jesus, Archer, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
You're crazy. Like, you know, that kind of, like, really well. Like, all these little pieces that they're taking the time to put together.
Yeah.
Like, fucking Alessandro Nivola. Is that his name?
I mean, I don't know. See.
That who plays Pollux Troy, right?
Yeah, talk about
Alessandro, Alessandro Nivola.
One-dimensional. Like, bad guys.
Yeah.
You just know from looking at him. He's got those glasses.
He's 50 now.
Yeah.
He looks pretty much the exact same.
Really?
Maybe a little bit older. Like, he was in the, like, the Sopranos movie they did there. He played Dickie Moltisanti.
Right.
But, like, I'm like, so he was like, what? 20? It's like 22, 23, is that right?
He looked, no, he looked young-faced.
26, 24, like.
Yeah.
But, like, just casting him, I think, as an action. You know, when cast younger brothers, sometimes it's like, I don't believe that's his younger brother.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's good, these little choices that you make, and it's not just, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
you know,
whatever.
Like, no, we're making,
he's a good actor. Yeah.
Yeah, we're making these choices that that make sense for the movie.
I think with this one, I was so blown away by the first 10 minutes. Like, I genuinely think that was possibly the best opening 10 minutes of a movie I've ever seen.
As the priest.
Yeah, that's when I think of Nicolas Cage, that's the Nicolas Cage I think. Oh, you know, like that sort of face. Like that's the Nicolas Cage.
Hallelujah.
The sort of hands on and shaking the head and all this. Yeah. Like that's what I think of when I think of Nicolas Cage. So he's very much Nicolas Cage when he's Nicolas Cage.
I think he's Nicolas, but like the way I kind of found myself thinking about it's an interesting film in that like I don't think of them as the characters for a lot of it.
How do you
mean?
It's
like. Like when he's playing Castor Troy or when he's playing Sean Archer, I'm like, this is Cage. I'm seeing Nicolas Cage as the actor doing good guy, bad guy. You know?
Like you're thinking of their real selves.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm thinking of Cage. And it's almost like a weird acting experiment.
Yeah, it is.
You know, isn't it? Like, and it doesn't take me out of it. Like sometimes when you see he's just playing Brad Pitt, you know, it's Brad Pitt just being Brad Pitt or whatever. Sometimes you're like, oh, fuck that guy.
I'm picking up on a slight hesitation from you, if I may. Now, if I'm wrong, please do tell me. I feel like I love. Tell me the truth. Did I like this movie more than you? Did you?
I don't think anybody likes this movie as much as you. By going by your first few minutes here,
I was expecting you to match this level of like
it's
whoa. But you know, like I don't know. You probably already knew what you were getting. You know what I mean?
I watched it a couple of years ago. I hadn't seen it in a couple of years, but there was still a lot of stuff that I kind of forgot about. It's great. It's a really fucking good movie. It's hilariously fun, like. There's some certain things in it, though, that I'm like, that doesn't do it for me. Like, the daughter doesn't do it for me.
No. No.
The face waterfalls thing, you know?
Oh, I know. Stop it with that.
The action, like Nick Cage with his golden guns, smoking a joint, and, you know, having his briefcase full of drug paraphernalia, then having the... Like, you're right, the first 10 minutes, I'm like, whew, yeah, you know.
Jesus Christ.
The big time, baby.
But the whole...
The way he gets fucking, put in the coma, I thought was great. Like, the fucking, the turbine sends him back
sends him flying. Like.
Yeah.
But the whole the whole face-off thing, is it just me or does that just kind of come out of the blue? And then all of a sudden it's like, well, this is what we're doing. And also, why can't he tell his wife? He's like, I'm going to go away for a while.
My note I had was like, write a note.
Yeah, listen.
Here's an envelope.
There's a big thing happening. Just in case it goes tits up.
I am going on assignment, but here's an envelope. If you don't hear from me or, you know, something happens. And even if I'm like, you know, maybe open it in 10 days, regardless of whether I'm home or
That's
not.
That's the
open
least believable days. Part of this whole movie, that he wouldn't tell his wife that he's going to do something so mental, just because they had a fight that he has one more mission or whatever. Like, yeah. He's not telling her what the... Like, why can't he tell her?
Yeah, I mean...
She wouldn't want it.
From a script perspective, the foundation is all there in terms of the dead kid and all that stuff there. Like, oh, I can't put it through it again.
He's like, hey, Archer, how's your dead son? Jesus. But
even the, like, you can tell that they'd set it in the... Look, and I don't... Like, I'm not down on this movie at all.
No, sorry, I was just... I just came in super hot in this movie.
Yeah. What I was thinking about halfway through it was like, do I enjoy this more than The Rock?
Mm.
And my answer is...
Yeah, what's your answer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's missing Ed Harris, but Nick Cage in this movie is making up for Ed Harris.
Yeah.
Whereas Nick Cage in The Rock is not nearly...
No.
...as good a performance. Nick Cage in The Rock is a weird...
I feel like you don't need Nick Cage in The Rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you might not agree with that, but like, he doesn't give me enough that I'm like, the Nicolas Cage movie, The Rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think you need somebody. I need somebody bringing a weird energy as the kind of science nerd guy.
But I don't think you do. I don't think he needed
to
be...
Who do you cast instead of Nick Cage as science guy?
You didn't need the weirdness in that character. I don't think you needed it.
Fair enough, but you also need to have the fish out of water energy.
Oh, yeah, but like...
I'm a, molecular whatever. I'm a nuclear scientist.
I don't want to say Christian Slater, but like...
That guy sleepwalked.
He did sleepwalk through Broken Arrow.
Look at these green things.
But it's like any one of the 10 guys around that time. You know what I mean? Like
any one of those 10.
Any one of those, like Keanu Reeves or something there. I don't know.
You could have had Keanu, but I think Keanu is a bit... He doesn't give off the scientist vibe, does he? Like,
he's too attractive.
Nick Cage hardly does either, I know.
But
in this, like, he gives off both.
Oh, you need him in this, yeah.
Like when they do the face-off treatment, and then...
Yes.
And I was like... I was like, yeah. It's such a ridiculous... The idea that they cast Travolta, at least make him get in shape. Like, because they throw a little line in, it's like an abdominoplasty to get rid of those love handles. And then I'm like, but then Caster Troy also gains the love handles.
They give it to him. Now, can I ask you a question? Do they give Cage Travolta's... Like, do they give...
We should go with the Caster Troy and Sean Archer.
Okay. Do they give Caster Troy Sean Archer's body while he's lying there?
But that's the thing. So they...
So why would they bother?
So when Sean Archer, a.k.a. John Travolta, is going under...
Yeah.
They say, oh, we're going to give you an abdominoplasty to get rid of those love handles and take away your scar, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, I was like, oh, I forgot they had that line in there. Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's a hand wavy thing of like, there you go.
Yeah.
When they don't, mention that they pump fat into, Caster Troy's body.
Do they? Or is it just...
They don't mention that they do. That's the thing. Like, so,
because I was thinking,
but he just
like,
shows up with like Travolta's belly.
I think it was because they... Yeah, like, why would he want that anyway? It's like, just give me his face. I guess he wants to pretend to be him now. But, like...
Yeah, but...
What I don't understand is, he wakes up in the lab...
No face.
And face gone. He somehow pieces together everything. The surgeon, where he lives, the what and why of how this has happened. Instead of just being like, oh, my face! What's going on?
He's smoking a cigarette without a face. Like.
So I was thinking at the time, like, why would they bother giving him Travolta's body if he's just lying there? But then I'm like, but I don't know if they did.
But it's not, they didn't swap bodies. That's the thing. Even,
right.
Technically, they didn't swap bodies.
Caster Troy made him give him Travolta's love-handled body.
I guess so. And then he burned them all and killed them all.
Yeah.
And killed everybody. kill everybody.
Because that was a real, like, you know, like, oh shit, like, I'm fucked now sort of thing.
And, well, that's, so he goes into the prison.
Yeah.
And it's, you definitely see the future world script here of, like, these
that's
boots.
1997, if I've ever seen it.
These boots that they're wearing, and, like, the casting of John Carroll Lynch as the fucking warden, the head warden.
Perfect, right?
Oh, I love, like, he can either play two ways. He can be, like, super soft and, like, huggable.
Yeah.
Or he'll play, like,
the biggest
piece of fucking shit. He plays like the guy they think is the Zodiac killer in Zodiac, and you're like, yeah, it's definitely him. He's fucking serial killer, like 100%. Yeah, 100%. Or he plays fucking the husband in Fargo. He's like the guy who paints like designs for stamps, and you're like, oh, of course he does.
Yeah,
that's what he does. He makes his pregnant wife eggs in the middle of the night, and then paints a little stamp, you know, the 13 cent stamp or whatever.
Of course.
Yeah, it's just
the whole,
I love the scene in the prison where, you know, that he, you can tell the brother is a little bit like,
yeah, why is he so like you wouldn't think, like I don't know. Are you Sean Archer with my brother's face?
No, I don't think he thinks that. I don't think he thinks
he's
that.
Very
he's
suspicious.
He's like something's off with him. And like, in fairness to Cage, he's like, I'm fried, bro. I was in a coma.
Yeah.
Like, the script and that, they kind of do. Yeah, they get away. But the scene where he's like fighting and he's not winning.
Yeah.
And the brother is looking at him as in like, well, my brother would never.
Yeah.
Be knocked down that easy. And then the face that Cage pulls when the blood is running down, he's like the weird, like, insane smile, and then just starts killing your man. Brilliant. Like, yeah,
it's weird because it's like, yeah, it's like Cage pretending to be Travolta, pretending to be Cage.
That is such good acting.
Yeah,
you know, like, it's
I believe
it's hammy, it's hammy, but it's like, it's a real, you can see him digging to the depths of, like, I'm immersing myself, like, I'm using acting technique.
Yes.
As, you know, there is that to it. And I think you definitely get way more of that with Cage than you would
with
most other actors. And especially at Travolta, it's just like, okay, I'm at 10. I'm at 11. This is what I'm playing. Okay, cool.
Okay, great.
Like, yeah.
You know, see you in the morning.
And then, yeah, no worries. Woo! Woo! There's a little skip out the door. Woo!
There's a scene where Cage escapes that prison where, like, one of the inmates thinks...
Dubrov?
Yeah, he thinks that he, like, did something with his wife or his sister or whatever like that. All he says to him to get to fix
it.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't touch your wife. I didn't touch your sister. So let's get out of here. Like, okay, Troy.
Yeah.
Like, really? Yeah, like,
yeah.
That's it. I didn't know as well. I mean, like, I'm going to kind of jump a little bit around here, but like,
absolutely, man.
One of the big things that I got from watching this was, I just think I fell in love with the year 1997 again. You know what I mean?
It's a great year for movies, man.
Was it?
I was like, fantastic year.
What a fucking LA Confidential, year. I think 1997 may be the best year of mankind ever. I just think it's... you're kind of gone there. I'm just going to keep talking. But yeah, I just think it had absolutely... It was just that sort of golden age, pre-9/11. They didn't... no one was afraid of anything. They were hamming it up. They were coming up with ridiculous storylines. They were just... Everything was just fucking whatever you want. Whatever you want.
It was
there
less
it is.
Serious, wasn't it?
Yeah, very, very much less serious. And I just think... It just reminded me of watching movies. It reminded me of watching movies... When me and Tony would go to my dad's for the weekend, and we'd rent like three movies over the weekend, and we would watch, and they'd always be movies like this, and they would just be fun, just a load of fun movies, and I just think I got that feeling again watching it, like, oh, this is fun, like, this is really fun,
like, you get it, like you say, in the prison break, and then like the next thing, even when the non-action scenes, there's still some fun stuff going on.
Yeah.
You get Travolta, like, being really weird as Archer, the dad, you know.
Yeah.
Papa's got a brand new bag. ow.
Yeah. And then he beats up Hyde. I didn't realise that was Hyde.
He's telling on himself way back when.
Yeah.
Fucking Danny Masterson raping a girl or attempted rape in a car. You know.
History. It's coming full circle there.
Yeah, well, just, you know, it's, you know, you knew, maybe that's allegedly. Where you got the idea. Allegedly, yeah.
Yep.
Hey, did you know your man Armie Hammer?
No. I do remember this name popping up on the pod before, though. Armie Hammer.
Yeah. He's in, like, The Social Network. He's in a bunch of stuff.
Come on. What sort of a name? Yeah, right. What about him?
So, he's in, like, that Death on the Nile, like, last year. He's a big-name movie star.
What's he done?
I don't know. Lots of rumors of cannibalism.
Sorry?
Yeah, or attempted wanting to drink women's blood.
I tell you what, out of everything you could have said there, cannibalism was not one.
Right?
What?
He's been cancelled anyway. He's been cancelled.
Yeah.
But now I saw on Twitter there the other day, he's now working at, like, he can't, he's now working as, like, a timeshare salesman in Hawaii. Like, that's how far he's fallen. This guy who was, what? Like, he was the Lone Ranger. This guy was in the Lone Ranger movie with Johnny Depp as Tonto. And now he is a time. It's like something out of a movie that you write where it's like, you know, the end of Goodfellas.
Oh, my God.
This is the bad time.
Cannibalism.
Yeah. So that's Danny Maston, I'm sure, is not. Jesus. I'm not saying he's a cannibal, but, like, he's probably fucking doing something before prison.
Fucking Hollywood, huh?
Out here in Hollywood. You've got to become a bit more specific than that, man.
One thing I'll say about this movie, if I may, there is a lot of slow-mo shots of Nick Cage walking in this movie.
Yes.
I counted at least 4 or 5 slow-mo shots of him just walking, big, mad, long, trench coat sort of vibe going on. He is just, I don't know, he's just fucking the shit. That's all I'll say. He's the shit.
And speaking of slow-mo, did you like the slow-mo doves?
Yes, I loved it all.
I had started to watch when I wasn't feeling well the week before. I didn't make it through it because I fell asleep because I was on some meds for my nose.
Hello.
But
I didn't even discuss that.
Yeah, well, I had surgery and I'm fine. Look. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Listen to me breathe.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, like, Faye had walked into the spare room and, like, one of the mornings she's like, I can actually hear you breathing through your nose as opposed to your mouth, which is, you know, I'm
no longer a mouth breather, eh?
Yeah, I know. There's hope for us all. But I'd started watching The Killer, John Woo's The Killer, starring Chow Yun-fat. And immediately you're like, oh, I see. This is his thing, where it's like doves, slow-mo, loads of action, gunshots. Like, that's his thing. And, like, it's refreshing to see him be able to pretty much transport it whole cloth over to US.
Yeah.
Like, much more so in this than fucking Broken Arrow, like.
Yeah.
Broken Arrow seemed like he was, like, having to compromise a little bit. And, like, in this, they're like, go for it. Yeah. Go full
with whatever you want.
Yeah. And, like, to the point where, like, at the end, the bombast in the action is insane. Like,
with the speedboat stuff.
Yeah.
What? There's a bit in that scene where, like, there's like a, it's clearly obviously a stuntman, and you can see by the way it is not Cage.
But I was like, I much rather our point earlier. Like, I much rather see it be a stuntman and somebody is actually fucking doing it and flipping and jumping, and there's a big flame behind him, as opposed to,
like, hold on, as CGI to, like, thing.
Oh, there's Chris Hemsworth, and there's a blue screen behind him, or whatever, green screen. You know,
there's they had someone and he was getting fucking beaten the shit out of by that water. It was like he was going, they were going 200 miles an hour and he's hanging on to the side. It's like, dish, dish, dish. I was like, fucking hell, whoever that is getting fucking ripped apart.
Before we actually get on to the very end, because I know we're going to wrap up soon, I want to talk about the subplot with like Cage as Archer, as Troy in the penthouse with, you know, his drug dealer crony friends, and then meeting Gina Gershon.
Yeah.
I can't remember her. Sasha, I think her name might have been.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And their son, Adam.
I thought they didn't need that.
I tell you, it definitely worked for me.
Right.
At the end, it definitely worked for me. It certainly helps that he's the fucking cutest kid imaginable. Like,
he's a cute kid. I was kind of... He's a cute kid. He's all right. He's
very cute. I mean, that little mop of hair on him, like big giant doe eyes.
Bit of a snot boy vibe, if you ask me.
He hadn't even given him a chance to be a snot boy.
The whole thing, I know we'll come back to it, but like the whole thing of like, it seemed a bit shoehorned in. It was like, I know our son died, but like, here's another kid. Can we take him in too? Yes. Like, he doesn't even say
it. There's more to it than that, because, you know, like... But he had been as Archer. So yeah. Travolta as Archer had been threatening to take the child away from her to get to Cage.
Right.
And then when he is Cage, she's talking to him and she's like, my son is everything to me.
Yeah.
You know, and he's seeing even though she's a bad person, she is a person.
Whatever happens, you know, Shauna, after this, Sean Archer's off your back for good.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, they do the work. They do the work.
They do the work. I thought maybe the movie would have been just as fine if not for throwing that in at the final hour.
It was very much though. It was like, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And then like to the wife, to Joan Allen, who we haven't even fucking talked about.
Yeah.
But it's like, huh? Okay. Huh? And she's like, okay, yeah. You want to go see your new room, Adam? You know,
seemed like...
And the daughter, you know, by the end of it, she's like a fucking six-year-old, the way she runs up, Daddy!
I know.
Like the way...
Like full clip.
Did you ever see Taken?
Yeah.
And you know, like the Liam Neeson's daughter in Taken?
Yeah.
Is supposed to be like 16, 17, and she fucking runs up like Phoebe in Friends, the way she runs. Dad, like, is she okay?
I know. That I don't think she
kind
is
of,
okay.
That kind of child vibe.
Yeah.
Even though you're a teenager.
I know. Yeah, I didn't quite vibe with that.
But the way, first of all, the sequence of events that gets us to the end with Victor Lazaro, his heart attack.
Oh yeah,
and he's like giving out to Travolta. He's like, oh, and then like Travolta just with the, it's like a chop to the neck and then an elbow to the heart.
Yeah, and then he just like hand on them. He like just like sort of like, and then he just like
Victor Lavaro's had a heart attack.
Yeah, but if we can finish up on the scene with the whole speedboat thing. I mean, fucking, they're ripping through the sea on this thing. Like hitting each other, somehow staying on the boat the whole time. But like,
he jumps onto his boat, then they're both on the same boat, and then like, you know, it fucking big, huge explosion at the dock. It kind of comes full circle. We started with a plane, we ended with a boat.
They go flying off the boat.
Deadly like, how high they go.
Proper fucking. Like just and at this slingshot point, it off.
I was thinking, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot. Like these are just supposed to be like two human guys.
Yeah.
Not
like, regardless of where they landed, they'd be dead after that. Landing in water or not, let alone shallow water, which they landed in. And then they get this whole thing, and then again you get Cage's. I just love Cage's lines of like,
die.
The
best bit of Travolta's acting in this whole film is like, when you see me, and he's like slicing his face, so I'm like, whoa, like deranged, like properly
deranged. Like, I feel like they both had. I feel like they're both mental, so I feel like, you know, in real life. So I feel like they both. This is like their dream role to play. I can be myself. you know,
I got a rad hog wild on that set.
Johnny Depp's kicking himself right now. Although he's not as he's got his issues, but he's not as deranged as those two.
He's pretty fucking deranged, though.
I don't know about deranged. He's fucking got problems, but I don't know if he's that sort of level of deranged that they are. But
just seems like a fucking prick, like, doesn't he?
Yeah, basically. But look, can I give my rating for this? Do you
hit it?
Okay, well, with a bullet. Number one, I'm going to say 9.5 out of 10. So I will go this, then what else did we watch? The Rock, then...
Raising Arizona.
Is that it, just the three?
That's the three, yeah.
This, The Rock, and Raising Arizona. And there's a big gap in between all of those. The Rock is very much around the middle. Raising Arizona is very much at the bottom, and this is very much at
I forgot how angry I was at you after the Raising Arizona debacle.
About you? You're not giving me Raising Arizona first.
Yeah, definitely still first.
Come on, Terry.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah. And then this, so if that's a 9, if Raising Arizona is a 9, this is an 8.5.
Oh my God. I am annoyed. I am annoyed at your picks. How about that? How about that? It's not a better movie than this.
I think it is a better
movie. Okay, well, look, you're not me. You have your own brain, I guess.
I think it is a better movie. I think this is great, fun, popcorn, excellent Hollywood filmmaking. Mm. I think it's really fucking great. Like, but there's something about Raising Arizona that was giving me something I hadn't seen before. Mm. You know, it's like unique. This is not unique. This is probably the best version of
that
these
style.
Types of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like, wow, this is what a new vision.
Yeah, okay.
You get me?
Fair enough.
Like, I would still have Con Air, I think, ahead of this.
Right.
And I think it's just because, you know, you're getting the two big roles.
Yeah.
And then to a lesser extent, like I was talking about, your man even who plays Lazaro, fucking Herb.
Yeah,
whatever. He's good. He's really good. He's in Fargo as well. He's brilliant.
I may have jumped the gun and saying this is better than Con Air as well, but
yeah,
it's fucking way closer than I thought.
Yeah, I think so. I think I had the three of them pretty close together.
Yeah,
but Con Air on top, and I think we might be in the minority with that. I would say
really,
but The Rock has fallen further down in my estimation.
Yeah, me too.
Like. And it, like I say, it's only propped up so much as it is because of Ed Harris.
Of course.
In it, like, yeah.
Well, look, on that.
And his guys.
Bombshell, Terry. Is it time for plugs?
Let's get plugging.
You can find us on social media, folks. If you like the pod, why not tell us on social media? Tell other people, even better. You can find us on Twitter at WSGAPod and on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod. You can find links to everything we do there, including some video stuff, our latest episode, and the Patreon.
Oh, the Patreon. Thank you for mentioning that, Andy. Mm-hmm. So behind the paywall, we've got two tiers. We've got our $5 tier, which is our big shots, and you get access to a bunch of stuff. You get access to all our back catalogue in our What's So Great About series, our MCU, our Ryan Gosling, our 90s action, which we recently have put a couple of them up on the main feed because we were off... Mm-hmm. Peached, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also got our Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Movies. Plus you get access to like 4 a month. So you're gonna get a bunch of other ones that are like our top fives. We're actually doing a top five Premier League footballers.
Did we say Premier League footballers?
Yes.
Okay.
We said Premier League footballers.
I think it still applies.
Well, you better make some revisions if you need to.
Just check my list.
You know, we've got like pitch meetings, we've got Perfect Day, a bunch of really good stuff there. Plus, you get access to all our video content. You're getting our Put It in H, our Simpsons podcast, and you are getting all our video content as well. That's only if you're a $5 back of your big shot. We also have our Pay Whatever You Want tier, which is our Hungry Heart tier, which is you get everything what I said there, minus the Q&A episode and our video content. So you're still getting a lot, even if you want to pay whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you can't afford to pay whatever you want, I think the minimum is a euro. So if you can't afford a euro a month...
You're a liar.
Yeah.
Basically, you're a liar. You're a big liar.
All right, big guy. Okay, calm down. But if you can't afford to do that, fair enough. I understand. You are listening to this free podcast. So what you can do for me is you can give me a rating or a review. Now, Andy.
Yes, Terry.
In this movie,
uh-huh.
There is a dead kid. And do you know what age the dead kid was?
It was five, wasn't it?
Yes, and that's how many stars review I want. I want a 5-star dead kid review.
Unbelievable. Yeah. The most controversial one yet.
Yeah. That's right. Create cash.
That's how we do. We're back.
So give us a rating review, or like Andy said, you know, if you can tag a friend, tell a friend on the L social, all that good stuff helps grow the pod and gets us back in the charts.
Thank you very much. We have a bit of an influx of new listeners. So if you are new and you've been saying, I thought they had a podcast, but they haven't released a new episode in 5 weeks or whenever it was, four, I think. Welcome. And hey, let us know you're there. We would love to know.
We've got a great string of eps coming up. We got some guests. We're not going to say who, but let's just say, you know, love them.
Just say we have a few tricks up our sleeve.
Like what?
All right, we have nothing. All right.
And a big thanks to Neil Murray as well, from Neil Murray Music on Twitter. He did our theme song for both this and the Patreon. If you're a listener there, look him up. I think you get him as The Housewives on YouTube, or maybe he has rebranded to Neil Murray Music.
I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah, you can get him there. He's
super talented.
Great stuff. He's posting stuff all the time that is always great. Mm-hmm. So go look for him there. Also, I wanted to say, if you are in the market for some good radio, I am once a week I'll be on 8 Radio, you know, playing a few tunes. Keep your ear out for that there. I'm usually posted on my Instagram or my Twitter when I'm about to go on it. So
some great
give
tunes.
It a listen. No, but even if I'm not there, you can give 8 Radio a listen, because quite frankly, it's a great alternative for music in Ireland.
What's that note in your hand? Yes, 8 Radio really is the
I have to, it was in a boking accident.
What's that red dot on your forehead, man?
I'm enjoying myself, I'll say that. I'm enjoying getting back into the radio game.
I have to say, your show is very good. Your the tunes that you have, I've pretty much enjoyed all of them, and I'm a finicky man, as you know.
What I like about it is the new music that I'm discovering.
Yeah.
The new music. Like, you know, whatever about the classics that I'm into, I'm actually discovering a bunch of new music from being involved in it. So that's great. And new Irish music as well.
Check them out, folks.
Yeah. Otherwise, got anything else to say, Andy?
People, it's been a long time, but I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you.
And you know, you get the big L from me behind the paywall. Gotta pay for it.
And it's worth every penny. Yeah. On that note, we will catch.
We'll see you next week for
Snake Eyes.
Oh, Andy.